Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
A horse and carriage, this I tell your brother, you can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, it's an institute you can't disparage. Ask the local gentry and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them, it's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion, love and marriage.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 621. I'm Amy Matheny, and happy springtime, April. It's April. April showers. Hopefully we're going to have some May flowers. But one thing we are definitely going to have May, June, and July and all these summer months besides, wonderful outdoor festivities and all of the events and festivals that you know about. We're also going to have a lot of weddings. And I am going to a lot of weddings, more weddings than I've been to in over a decade and a half. Perhaps marriage equality has something to do with that. If you are like me, I keep saying I need to make a new t-shirt that says 45 is the new 30. Everybody's getting married now, perhaps in their latter years. But I also think young people now see it as an option of getting married and whether gay or straight. I know so many of us, or at least for myself, I just really never thought marriage was an option. So I never really thought about it. But all that changed, when the first state started having marriage equality across the United States. Even when it was in Europe, it still didn't feel like a reality until it really started coming close to home. And a little over a year ago, here in Chicago and in the greater Cook County area that includes Chicago, I started thinking like, wow, this has really become a reality now. There was so much energy around it. And I just wanted us to look back a little bit on what this past year has meant for us, as there are so many other debates going on for our community in other states. But what it has meant for us as a state and us as a city and a greater area here in the Chicagoland area. And so I'm so excited that one of our listeners, James, works for Cook County Clerk David Orr, a big champion of ours in the community. And he said, maybe you'd want to have Clerk Orr on to talk about marriage. And I was like, I absolutely would. That is absolutely perfect. And so thank you, James, for hooking this one up today. And I had a great conversation with David Orr about the realities of marriage equality for Chicago, the greater Chicagoland area, Illinois, the U.S., his history with us, the practicalities of getting married, how to convert a civil union, what has it meant, the unique stories that have come out of it for him. And so Cook County Clerk David Orr on for the hour. And it's really interesting because I do believe that you can look at a community like Chicago and you can see perhaps what it's like in other communities by using this as a prototype or an example, or where we have been ahead of the game or just unique And both of those cases are true. So I'm excited, as people I know are planning weddings for June, July, and August. This is a little more about the nuts and bolts of marriage, perhaps not the romance. But I do think it's a very moving show, and I can't wait to have this conversation with Mr. Orr. So marriage today on the Queercast, and what's going on in LGBT news, theater, and much, much more.
Why can't you just believe in me? Not everyone is the enemy.
Hey everybody, this is Shelley Wright, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast with my good friend Amy.
I'm doing the best I can, but I'm broken.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. Researchers at the Williams Institute at UCLA School of Law, Columbia University, and the Fenway Institute at Fenway Health are launching a first-of-its-kind study that they expect will create a more accurate and detailed picture of issues that transgender individuals face. The study has several goals, including aiming to describe basic health outcomes and health behaviors of the trans population, including general health status, mental health, smoking, history of suicide attempts, disability, quality of life, and health care access, including insurance coverage. The researchers will use a survey of 350,000 U.S. adults that Gallup conducted and estimate that 300 to 500 trans-identified individuals will participate.
The U.S. Justice Department is asking a federal judge in Texas to reconsider his order temporarily blocking federal rules that would have expanded medical leave benefits to gay couples. Previously, U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor in Wichita Falls stayed expansion of the definition of spouse under the Family and Medical Leave Act to include same-sex couples.
The CDC announced more than $185 million in funding to fight HIV among gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men, or MSM, and transgender people, particularly among African Americans and Latinos. The amount includes up to $125 million to help state and local health departments expand the use of two new HIV prevention strategies: pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, for MSMs and transgender people who are HIV negative but at substantial risk, and ongoing medical care and antiretroviral treatment for people living with HIV to prevent transmission to others.
The American Military Partner Association joined forces with the Transgender American Veterans Association to release an unprecedented report highlighting the harm the military's transgender ban continues to inflict on transgender service members and their families. The first-of-its-kind report focuses on the impact that trans-related military regulations have on the entire family and includes personal stories from transgender service members and their families.
Counsel for plaintiffs from the Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee marriage lawsuits announced that Mary L. Bonuatu and Doug Hallward Dreimeyer will represent the plaintiffs at the cases scheduled April 28th arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court. Bonuatu will present arguments for question one: does the 14th Amendment require a state to license a marriage between two people of the same sex? And Hallward Dreimeyer for question two: does the 14th Amendment require a state to recognize a marriage between two people of the same sex when their marriage was lawfully licensed and performed out of state?
The Justice Department announced the filing of a lawsuit against Southeastern Oklahoma State University, Southeastern, and the Regional University System of Oklahoma for allegedly violating Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 by discriminating against a transgender employee on the basis of her sex and retaliating against her when she complained about the discrimination. The United States complaint alleges that Southeastern discriminated against Rachel Tudor when it denied her application because of her gender identity, gender transition, and nonconformance with gender stereotypes.
A Virginia school board has voted to require transgender students to use a single stall restroom or a restroom of the student's biological sex. The Stafford County School Board voted 6-0 in favor of the policy in response to a Hartwood Elementary School transgender student who had been allowed to use a restroom and locker room aligned with their self-identified gender. As many as 15 parents spoke out against Heartwood's trans-friendly restroom policy.
In Utah, a former Brigham Young student has reached a settlement with his landlord after filing a lawsuit for over $100,000 worth of emotional and property damage that occurred after his coming out. Andrew David White was evicted January 23rd from The Village at South Campus. It's a BYU-approved housing that enforces the Mormon school's honor code. The code bans sexual conduct before marriage and between people of the same sex. White alleged that prior to his formal eviction, his housemates forcefully ejected him from his apartment. White reportedly suffered bruised ribs in the process.
HIV-positive patients may be living longer, but they may also be aging faster than expected. A new study published in PLOS-1 shows that HIV-positive people are at an increased risk of age-related diseases, such as some cancers, frailty, osteoporosis, kidney disease, and neurocognitive disease. Researchers think that it is the HIV itself that accelerates the aging process by 14 years rather than medications used to treat it.
Susie Orman's the keynote speaker at the 2015 International Business and Leadership Conference of the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. Orman and Out Lesbian is a two-time Emmy-winning television host, the author of 9 consecutive New York Times bestsellers, a magazine and online columnist, writer, producer, and renowned motivational speaker. The conference will take place August 11 through 14 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
In world news, Sweden is officially adopting a new gender-neutral pronoun. Hen can be used if the gender of the person is unknown, if the individual is on the trans spectrum, or to avoid making a sexist generalization. It was first coined in the 1960s as a way to avoid using hun or he all the time, and caught on with Sweden's trans community in the early 2000s. Hen is one of 10,000 new words appearing in the Swedish Academy Dictionary, which is updated every 10 years.
In Taiwan, gay marriage advocates protested the registration rules of the Taipei United Marriage Ceremony event as the city moved to establish a new separate ceremony open to same-sex couples. Activists accompanied a lesbian couple whom submitted registration forms for this year's Taipei United Marriage Ceremony.
Corporate giants, including Qantas, PricewaterhouseCoopers, SBS, and Football Federation Australia have signed on an open letter to the federal government in support of same-sex marriage. In the letter, they argue that same-sex marriage is not just the only truly fair option, but a sound economic option, as it would make LGBTI employees happy and, therefore, more productive, and give Australia a competitive edge in attracting international talent. Telstra, Optus, ANZ, Westpac, IBM, and David Jones have previously indicated their support for marriage equality in Australia.
A South African court has ruled that gay men who have a baby born by a surrogate mother are entitled to paid maternity leave. The labor court in Durban said it was not fair for the State Information Technology Agency to not pay a gay man the customary 4 months paid maternity leave usually given to new mothers.
In entertainment news, Downton Abbey will end its run after the upcoming 6th season, but a movie may happen. Downton Abbey creator/writer Julian Fellowes would be excited to bring the masterpiece series to the big screen.
Stage and star Julie Andrews plans to publish a follow-up to her 2008 memoir, Home, a Memoir of My Early Years. It will include behind-the-scenes stories from such iconic films as The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, Thoroughly Modern Millie, Victor Victoria, and more. The book is slated for a September 2017 publication.
University of Massachusetts guard Derek Gordon, who became the first openly gay men's Division I basketball player after coming out last April, has decided to transfer and play his final college season at another school. Gordon will leave Massachusetts, but said that his decision to transfer was unrelated to his sexuality. Gordon averaged 9.8 points and 4.9 rebounds per game this past season for UMass.
Pretty Woman is making its way to Broadway. Director Gary Marshall has spoken out about his plans to turn the classic 1990 rom-com into a musical, confirming this ongoing speculation. The veteran writer-producer, age 80, revealed he is collaborating on it with producer Paula Wagner and the author of the original screenplay, J.F. Lawton.
And on again, off again, Freddie Mercury biopic starring Sacha Baron Cohen appears to be on again. Last year, it was reported that Cohen had left the project due to disagreements with the surviving members of Queen over the film's direction and tone. Now, though, Queen manager Jim Beach has revealed that Cohen is back on board with the project. And not only will he depict the legendary singer, but he's also writing and directing the film himself.
NBC has ordered 8 episodes of First Dates, an observational documentary series from executive producer Ellen DeGeneres and Shed Media that takes a peek at what happens when a couple meets for the first time and love may be in the air. Based on a hit UK format, this unique hour-long series offers an authentic look at a variety of real first dates happening over one night at the same restaurant. Production will begin in July in Chicago. No premiere date is set.
Former Ohio State NCAA champion wrestler Mike Pusillo opened up about his sexuality in a new interview with Open Mat. Pusillo, who was a 3-time All-American and 2008 NCAA Division I champion at Ohio State, recalled coming out as gay to his best friend and college teammate. Pusillo, now 28, said he drew courage from the likes of fellow gay sports figures like Michael Sam, Robbie Rogers, and Dartmouth lacrosse All-American player Andrew Goldstein.
Legendary musician Paul McCartney and out crooner Sam Smith are just two of the acts slated to perform at Chicago's Lollapalooza this year. The event will run for its 11th year at Grant Park, July 31st through August 2nd.
And Netflix has set premiere dates for Season 3 of Orange is the New Black and a number of new series. Also, Sense8, the new drama from Andy and Lana Wachowski, premieres June 5th. Sense8, a sci-fi thriller, is described as a global tale of minds linked and souls hunted. And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead, you're not alone. Post a comment.
Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married. Gee, I really love you and we're gonna get married. Go into the chapel of love. Spring is here, the sky is blue. Whoa, birds are singing as if they knew. Today's the day, we'll say I do, and we'll never be lonely.
Well, just this past February, Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, for those of you who are not from this area, Cook County is Chicago, celebrated the 1-year anniversary of marriage equality. And this was a long won battle of lawmakers and citizens working together to bring equality to all here in our great city. And marriage equality took effect for the entire state of Illinois in June, just a few months after that. And I'm just really excited to talk today because we have some of the rear view mirror that we can kind of look back on to see what has this meant for us as a city, what is this meaning for us as a state, and kind of give us a little bit of a microcosm of what could be the macrocosm of the impact of a ruling, perhaps, and hopefully from the Supreme Court, hopefully this June. So no one better to talk with me about this than Cook County Clerk David Orr, who is here with me for the first time on the show, to kind of look back and look at what we see marriage equality has meant to this city and to the state. Hello, Clerk Orr. How are you?
I'm very good, Amy.
Thank you so much for being on. So some people who might be listening to this in another country or in another state might say, well, how did people start marrying in Cook County before, Governor Quinn's law at the time went into effect in June for the state?
Okay, we'll go back for a moment. Let me just clarify that Chicago's in Cook County, but Cook County is much bigger than Chicago.
Good.
So we got 150-some suburbs and more people living in the suburbs than the city. So the bottom line is it's a big county, the second biggest in the nation. What happened is after years of struggle, I think most people realized we had to win in the courts and or win in the legislature. What happened in Cook County, it kind of happened at the same time, and it gets a little interesting. So first of all, the legislator took some courageous acts. okay, and they actually passed a law that would take effect in June of 2014.
Right.
But at the same time, things were moving up in the courts because we have lots of different battles going on at the same time, which has always been the strategy, I think, of the community. You know, we've got to fight it on all fronts. And so what happened is we passed this incredibly important law, but then people said, wait a second, we've got a law which now says thou shall not discriminate. Mm-hmm. The law of the land in Illinois should not discriminate against people who want to be married. So some of our wonderful lawyers, okay, at Lambda Legal here in Illinois and ACLU, they went to court and they said, wait a second. We have people who are probably going to not even make it till June. They may, in fact, and their lives may be threatened. So the first step was the court stepped in and said, you know, you're right. So if someone is facing a serious medical issue, we're going to let them get married right away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that gave us an opening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lawyers, the great lawyers, kept pushing the court. And finally the court came out and said, you know what? We don't have to wait for the law because the law says thou shalt not discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
The courts are ruling by this judge at this time said we shouldn't be discriminating.
Mm-hmm.
Equal marriage should be the law of the land. And therefore, since the lawsuit was brought in Cook County, they allowed us to start ahead of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly because when this big lawsuit was brought, you may remember, as a longtime supporter of equal marriage, and I was the one who was sued, so my name is down there
right.
as the enemy in this whole thing,
right.
I basically said I refuse to defend this unconstitutional statute.
Yeah.
So anyway, so in Cook we won that, so we were able to start February 21st, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And so even before the official state deadline in June, we already were marrying a lot of people. We married 1,900 folks.
Wow.
Actually, no, I'm sorry, that's wrong. Of the folks that we married, I'm just saying that 1,900 were from out of state.
Right.
So what happened between February 21st and June is mm-hmm. we got to work.
Yeah.
And it was great and something that's maybe not in the statistics.
Right.
What I'm really proud of is how well staff handled it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm aware, and certainly you are, you know, there's still people with gripes and grievances, and they're not quite under the kind of level of tolerance we'd like.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not have instances. And so you have people down there one window getting licensed that may be a lesbian couple, and right next to them is a straight couple,
mm-hmm.
and down the aisle is perhaps two gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that all worked so well. So that was a wonderful thing, not just passing a law or having a court rule, but to see the way in which people responded in a constructive way.
So, well, and it's important, right? Because as you said, and for listeners who may be less aware of Illinois or Cook County, you know, history in the past year, since we have listeners around the world and definitely in the United States, you know, it was vital that some of these couples be able to get married early because they did soon pass. There were, you know, the first couples that were married had one of the two spouses was terminally ill, and you know what a miracle that mm-hmm. they were able to you know, be bonded in matrimony and in civil full marriage with their spouse, and so an amazing thing was done by everyone to make sure that happened. So your feeling was that you know, Illinois kind of got it right, and Cook County kind of got it right in that there you didn't experience a lot of negative feedback except your name being put
yep.
as the
lawsuit
as the
being
public
brought
enemy,
against me,
yeah,
but I'm,
the lawsuit against you, and you basically dropped it like a hot potato and said, well, I'm not going to deny people, discriminate against people.
That's right. So I mean, so the bottom line is that we made this great movement, and we can talk, if you want, about some of the numbers.
Yeah.
One of the other intangibles, because remember, I'm always looking for ways to not just win a law or even a court settlement, to win the crucial thing, which is behavior.
Correct.
And one very important thing is when that first day came, February 21st, and there were some other firsts too,
mm-hmm.
when these couples came down, and I give credit, and you've probably seen a lot of the coverage, we had so many wonderfully articulate, gay leaders. It wasn't just leaders. There were individuals that came in. Mm-hmm. When the whole world is watching and there's 100 cameras there, yep. and these people were so articulate, mm-hmm. And I'll forget one of the women, just the way they spoke about, you know, being together 20-some years, and finally the state recognized that they had the right to do this officially. So that helped in what I believe is this kind of wave of tolerance that has swept, swept around here. Now we know other states are trying to find ways to get around it. So that's just one of the intangibles, and those people who are so articulate really deserve a lot of credit for making the movement go further.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's interesting because as you were saying that about seeing the couples, you know, signing up to get their marriage licenses that day, and you see a lesbian couple, a straight couple, a gay couple, you know, it's really funny because my girlfriend and I were just saying we're invited to 3 weddings in the next 3 months, and it's a lesbian couple, a gay male couple, and a straight couple. And I thought, well, that's what my community looks like. And so... why, you know, it's the first time in my life I can say that that's kind of what, you know, my experience has been. So we've been laughing and saying, you know, 40 is definitely the new 30 because most of my 40-somethings are getting married. So we all feel like we're in our late 20s and early 30s again when you're going to lots of weddings. It's kind of cool.
In fact, that's what one of the statistics showed, that, you know, when you look at all these numbers of the 6,500 that were married, 6,500 after the first anniversary, and now over 6,800, the one statistics beside the fact it's all the way from 17 to 93, mm-hmm. and all these wonderful, you know, the great diversity of who is seeking this license, but the standard age was so much older than straight couples for the various obvious reason.
Yes.
That it was in the 40s, if I believe, and it was because many of these couples had been together, but now this is the first time they could make it legal.
Yeah, I mean, they need a whole new card, you know, set of cards at Hallmark, because all of the wedding cards mm-hmm. are like, this new life together, or this beginning of your life together, and I want to go, my friends are tired, they've been together a long time.
That's right.
I mean, this is like a rejuvenation, or you know, something like, this is going to put spring in your step. That's what it needs to say again, you know? Hey, let's just do some stats, just because you have them, and yours are accurate. Yours are accurate to the data that you have access to. About how many same-sex couples have married in Cook County? Can you tell me some just interesting ideas about race? And you've just mentioned the age is higher, gender, you know, people coming from other states to marry here. Mm-hmm. Kind of what are just some of those interesting highlights that you all have garnered?
Okay, well, let's start with that. Now we're up to about 6,800. Mm-hmm. Okay, marriage license issued. Okay. Now, what's interesting is when we were doing this before June, okay, before the rest of the state kicked in, that meant other people from Illinois were coming to Cook, and that meant other states were coming to Cook.
Sure.
And at that time, the three top states where couples came to Cook County to get their marriage license were Michigan, 329, Indiana, 282, and Ohio, 233. Mm-hmm. But they came from all over. Okay, and in that period before the rest of the state kind of caught up, mm-hmm. okay, between February 21st and June 2nd, 2014, when the law, as opposed to the court decision, went into effect, 1,637 licenses were issued.
Wow.
So we had lots of people coming in. Now the good news about the June 2nd date now is that while we love have people coming up here to Chicago and Cook County, now they don't have to.
Right.
You know, in most cases, they can stay in their own state, or at least in Illinois, they can stay in any one of their counties. Mm-hmm. So even though there was some kicking and screaming downstate, it all turned out well. And while it'll give us a little more business, a little less business from downstate, it makes the whole state a more just situation. So that's
yeah, it
good.
May have felt, it must have felt very energized and perhaps a bit frenetic there at the beginning, I imagine, for all of the workers who are trying to issue licenses. And did you have to increase staff at that time?
Well, we were very worried about it because we didn't want, we know people were excited. We still didn't want them to wait a long time.
Sure.
So we were able to see, we do several things in the Cook County Clerk's Office. We do, you know, these marriage and birth records and so forth. We always do. We also do elections and taxes. So we were able to bring in some temporary employees. We're also able to bring in some other people from other departments to help with the overload. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it turned out fine.
And it must have felt historic for those people, you know? I mean,
absolutely,
it must have been a profound thing that they will never forget for the rest of their lives.
That's right. And again, the fact that we didn't have to browbeat our employees is, I think, really encouraging because we have a great diversity among our employees. But, yeah, it was all great, and many of them, they handled the press well. The cameras came in, and so it was an exciting time. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of what the staff did.
Are you seeing difference with age, demographics, gender, in terms of, you know, predominantly these are, Caucasian people getting married?
No.
Are you seeing a cross-section of diversity of race and ethnicity?
The only real difference is age.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at everything, you know, kind of where they come from in Chicago or in the surrounding areas in Cook County or race and so forth, income, no, that's all very diverse. You don't see a lot of differences. The only significant difference that I remember looking at all this is basically the age for the obvious reason. They didn't have the choice to do it 10 or 15 years ago.
And I think many people would think that, I don't know why, but I think there would be like an idea that more women would get married than men would get married, right? The old stereotype that gay men just want to not settle down. They love having promiscuous sex. They love being, you know, single
in the bars.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm trying to help you debunk it here right now. But are you kind of seeing that lesbians and gay men are coming out in equal numbers to tie the knot?
Really very close. There's slightly more females.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all dramatic.
Yeah.
So maybe the men you're talking about are a little more committed.
Exactly. So let's just do some basics because you're the best person to tell us. Where do we get, how do you get a license? What do you need to bring? What does it cost? I mean, what do you do if you and your partner are going to get married and make it legal? Besides finding a florist and a caterer, what are the logistics that you have to do legally to get married?
Okay, now it's really simple. Now, remember, in most places it's like this, but speaking for Cook, mm-hmm. okay, if you plan to get married in Cook, that's where you get your license. Okay, so that's one of the key things.
Right.
You may live in another county, but you want to get married in Cook County, which includes Chicago. So where you get your license is where you get married.
Okay.
And your license is good for 60 days, so you don't have to rush ahead of time. You don't get it if you're not going to get married for, you know, 3 or 4 months, because you just have to get another one.
Right.
Now, to do it, it's really very simple. The only real requirement is both individuals have to come in together. That's
okay.
One requirement. Now, by the way, in Cook County, besides our office in downtown Chicago, which a lot of people come to, we have 5 suburban offices and surrounding, Cook County, which is a big place.
Fantastic.
So people go to all those offices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And all they have to do is bring identification. We certainly have people from abroad, too. They bring identification. It's a fairly simple process because, you know, technology helps make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
They will ask you if you've been married before. And then you basically fill out a form and you pay. They is now $50. Let me see if I got it right. $60 now? Okay, it's $60.
Okay.
But one of the key things, again, I'm proud of the great leadership we had in Springfield as well as the courts, is one of the key things we did for people relating to the cost
mm-hmm.
is if people already had a civil union license, because remember, we like other places, we had to compromise more than we'd like. So we started out with a registrar, and then we went to the civil unions, and then finally the equal marriage. But all those people that got a civil union license from us, we said, you're not going to have to pay again.
Oh, wow.
Because you,
that's great.
See? So they shouldn't have to pay the $60, let's say, you know, last year for the civil union license and turn around and pay double because they've been discriminated against.
Right.
So we made that clear. Another key thing about the law, again, back to, and there's so many good legislators, Greg Harris and so many others I'd love to praise. But they got in there that you could also backdate. Like, let's say you got your civil license a year earlier, in June of 2013, that you could, if you had that, we could backdate your marriage license. Now, this is a very important, as you know, when we get into practical things, because, you know, some of this is all about love and who you want to be with, and some of it's very practical that, you know, the things we've often talked about is, you know, your loved one is in a hospital and they won't even let you in. So also all these things about tax breaks and other protections by the law. So this allows people, if they had the civil union, even a couple of years ago, we could backdate it. So that's another thing. Again, I'm proud of the legislators for putting that in there, and that was a big boon. So we will still make some good money off of it, but for the a couple thousand already of folks with civil union licenses, they got theirs free.
Wow. That's just amazing, and amazing, too, that you can do that backdating, because it does provide so much more history as to the integrity of your relationship, right?
Absolutely. There could be important insurance reasons. Someone was really injured. So it's really good. And that's really about it. In other words, it's really that simple to come in. And then, of course, once you get that license, like I say, you've got 60 days to actually have some sort of ceremony. A lot of people find their own. You know, I do some on the side here. It's always fun. And then, of course, here in Cook County, we have a marriage court. Where people can go if they want to have someone perform the service.
Right, right. You mentioned earlier about just, you know, singing the praises of your staff, and no one hesitated, and people really recognized what a part of history they were in issuing these first marriage licenses to same-sex couples. When you see stories about what's going on in other states, with especially Alabama right now, I mean, is that shocking to you? Is that, you know, what do you feel like the climate probably is down there? Because you're at least... you don't have the same cast of characters, but you have the same setting. So I'm asking you to kind of go into what that would possibly be for someone who has, you know, is on the right side of this debate, and happens to be an Alabama resident right now on either side of this issue in terms of getting married or being someone who licenses and would work in the state. Department.
Well, it's certainly not shocking to me. In other words, no matter what we've done, having to deal with gay and lesbian couples or dealing with race and so forth, we've always got our kind of crazies out there. And the key to this, though, is the climate. Okay, a climate is created. It's kind of a cultural effect. It's also kind of a movement building. And so that's as bad as some of these states are and some of the stupid laws that are trying to pass and that. A fool down there, Roy Moore, Supreme Court Justice. These are people that, you know, feel they can take the law totally in their hands and so forth. So I'm not surprised by it, but the good news is they're increasingly the minority. Okay, and I was saying earlier when I was glad the way our people reacted and stuff, is that to a certain level, it's not just the law. You know, we passed civil rights for African Americans a long time ago. That doesn't mean that they're being treated fairly. So it's all the other things that go with it. And so it's really important to understand how these things happen. And, of course, happen here because of the actually people coming out and then the political activity, and that gradually that grew. And people who might have been very anti or almost rabid, once they saw the real political situation, they either became educated or they were forced to go along. All that because of a growing movement. And as you know, of course, more than me, this the role of young people in this and the acceptance and the different lifestyles and so forth. So, you know, you build the movement in places where it's easier to do, like we did here in Chicago, expanding to Cook County and around the state. And I that's growing a lot of states. So it's not surprising there's going to be a few wing nuts or whatever you want to call some of these folks. And, of course, they can do damage, so I don't want to take it lightly. But history's on our side. And even what we can't achieve immediately in courts, this what I call, I mean, when politics works, it can be good. So often
right.
it doesn't. But when politics works and actually listens to what the will of the people are, you can do great things. And I can't think of any better example in the last 20 years talking about a movement mm-hmm. that kind of caught fire and changed not just laws, but changed attitudes and behavior. So yeah, I don't want to see that these guys pick me off in Nebraska and Alabama and some of the other crazy stuff. But I do believe that we're on the right side of history and we will win those.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is interesting, right, that we're going to be coming up on the one-year anniversary of Illinois having marriage equality at the same time that the announcement will be made after the Supreme Court hearings here in April. The ruling will come out supposedly in June, they believe, and that we will kind of know what the law of the land is. But as you said, when we have these kind of like rogue people who are saying, well, that may be the law, but I'm not going to enforce it.
Right.
You know, it's going to become very interesting, and it is going to take us back to the civil rights movement and actions that had to be taken at that time. And, you know, potentially we hope that won't be it, but then you see the backlash of what's happening even in Indiana, you know, with the, Religious Freedom Act,
right.
and you see that sometimes now the public has gained so much momentum. I mean, Illinois was what, the 17th, the 16th, 17th, 18th state, somewhere around there, to have
the 17th
to have marriage equality, and now we're up to, you know, 36, 37, plus the District of Columbia, so it's doubled in a year. The momentum is on our side, and it is hopeful that you know, that the Supreme Court will see that, and that society is, you know, is learning and growing and expanding.
That's
because
right.
I think even Indiana has obviously had to dealt with corporations pulling out, and you have, you know, the Starbucks CEO, you know, basically saying, hey, you don't have to like that we support marriage equality, but you can go somewhere else if you can earn 38% share on your dollar. You know, we don't care.
Yep.
You can go somewhere else, you know, if you think you can get that kind of return and you don't like our politics or what we're behind. So
right.
I think that's going to be more and more people standing up and saying that that is going to impact this, the character of people.
Well, I think so too, and I remember what you're talking about is activism, community organizing, people being committed. So the point is, yes, we want the court to rule the right way, even though this is one of the weakest courts in history. We want that, but the point is, we will be ready to continue the fight, as they're doing in Indiana right now, and we can never let down, we can never ease up on the demand for equality, and I think part of the real political power, because realistically the courts are not this neutral, totally biased that just looked at some statutes.
Right.
It's never been that way if one knows history.
Mm-hmm.
And so all this political movement, what's going on in Indiana, the what I call this insurgence and this commitment to marriage equality, means that if people don't rule the right way, they're not going to be off the hook.
Yes.
And that's really important to know, you know, that mm-hmm. nobody steps back. Because nobody should have the right, including the court, to deny you justice.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously want the court to do the right thing, and we're hoping, but the movement and I guess the energy that you're describing is what will carry the day ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
That no, nobody can tell us we're unequal.
Yeah.
And that, you know, whether it's in Indiana or Nebraska, or depending on how the court argues, or other little obstacles that people throw up, and their last vestige of discrimination, that's our job, is to continually confront that.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the integrity with which you and your office have been aligned with this, with marriage equality and with the community. And
can I tell you one funny story, Amy,
yeah,
before I forget
please,
it?
Please.
I just thought of it. I'm lucky because I was raised in a fairly tolerant atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
What's called the Rogers Park area of Chicago. And way back in 1978,
mm-hmm.
when I was running for office the first time, I first got elected to Chicago City Council in 1979. So I'm old, okay? So in 1978, because of some friends that I had fortunately been sensitized and was actually supporting what was then the Human Rights Ordinance that was stalled in the City Council, but I was publicly supporting that. So a number of my friends had a benefit for me. very small, but, you know, there was, I mean, it was a much tougher time there at a little local gay bar in the Rogers Park area. And so, it was, you know, it wasn't, didn't make a lot of money, but we got some friends there. When you win a close election, you got, everybody did something to it. The story, though, the funny part of the story is, okay, I go in there. I'm straight, by the way. I go in there, have a nice little party, and somebody grabs me toward the end and says, "Hey, Dave, now we got to go in the back." I said, "Oh, what's in the back?" "Oh, we got the kissing booth back there. That's how we're going to make money." Anyway, I won't say any further, but it was a fascinating experience over these last 30-some years. So.
Well, we appreciate it, and you have. I should mention that you have an enormous history with the LGBT community. I mean, as an alderman, a supporter, and an ally, as you mentioned, the Human Rights Ordinance, which you were instrumental in passing in the late 80s, and then with Domestic Partner Registry, which you were a part of as well in the early 2000s. So when I say that, you know, this is a long won battle of lawmakers and citizens, I mean, you are one of those people in this, you know, as you said, just soldiering on and one foot in front of the other and just continuing until, you know, we have this for all people. And then once we have it, making sure that we uphold our citizens and our legislators to the law and our judges if need be, and just keep creating, putting that energy into the culture so that we change, you know, as a society. And we are changing, and we're changing because of people like you and your amazing team there and the work that you all are doing. So I greatly appreciate it and appreciate you being on the program.
Well, thank you, Amy, and keep up. Your programs are vital, and let's hope we all have a better future.
Absolutely, and it's about to be big wedding month, so you guys start getting your backs ready for to be on your feet a lot because
we're getting
June,
real busy now.
And June, the busiest months of the year for weddings, as we can even see in your one-year report. You know, obviously, it's probably because marriage became legal and it was Gay Pride Month and a lot of reasons, but, you know, a bulk of the marriages happened in June and July and August, so we're heading into the big peak wedding months for straight couples, gay couples, for all couples. And so thank you for the work that you'll be doing in those upcoming busy months as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Amy. I enjoyed it.
And for more information on any of the discussions that we've had and the reports and the, you know, just the logistics on what you need to do, where to get licenses, where the offices are in the city and in the counties, the website is amazing, and we'll have it linked in our show notes for cookcountyclerk.com. All that information is in there, and you know, you can link to some things and find out what you need about converting your civil union or a location or any of that. Cook County Clerk David Orr, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful week. Coming up, Elaine Dame is a jazz singer around town, and she wants you to be a part of a new benefit that she's doing, Music for Matt, and I will have Elaine and some of her fantastic jazz music on the show next week. She is joining forces to raise money for the Matthew Shepard Foundation, and I'm excited to have a musical show in this almost summer feeling week of April. Miss Elaine Dame going to be on the next show. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you later. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.